Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, everybody. It's great to see you all today. As you take your seat, I just wanted to say hello from Nova Scotia. We've been down with our family. I trust you all had a great Thanksgiving, tasty Thanksgiving with your family and your friends. This was the first time in almost 4 years, believe it or not, that we were able to get home to Halifax and be around the same table together. And Mom's cooking never tasted so good. It was a good week. And so we missed you guys. Pastor Mark delivered the goods last Sunday, had a great message for episode 2. And I've never been so proud as a pastor for my church than all of you with your mad trivia skills to guess Living on a Prayer, Old Town Road, and Zacchaeus Was a Wee Little Man. That's a good medley right there. And so well done. I'm in the right church, that's for sure. Today we continue with episode 3 of our Good Works series as we look at the work that God has called us to. And each of us have been called to that good work. We were born for a good work. And so it's important that in pursuing that and in pursuing God, that we know where God has called us to, our world, our families, our marriages, our relationships. It's also important to understand the opposition and the things that we will face as obstacles so that we can take the tools that Christ has left us with to accomplish our calling. And so understanding our purpose is so key to our existence. And so today I really believe God wants to speak to some of you in a really personal way. The time I spent in preparation for this message, I was really kind of pulled aside by God almost to say that there's some big decisions being made, that there's some deep things that are being considered. And so that this message is for all of us, but in particular, there's some of you that really need this today. And so I pray that it would sink deep and that you would hear it clearly so that you could run it out. We know that His timing is always perfect. Some of us, not so much. His timing is always perfect. His word is always anointed. It's always saturated with His love. And any time that we spend with Christ is a time when our lives are transformed, when we are changed. And He wants to change in you the things that you cannot change on your own. And so I pray that you would hear what He's saying today. So I'd like to look at a portion of Scripture that many of you are familiar with, but some of you may be hearing perhaps for the first time. But today I want to look at it from a different perspective than we're used to. This scripture is typically used in a particular way, and so we're going to look at it kind of from a different vantage point. Turn in your Bibles if you have them. If not, look up at the big screen. Matthew 26, verse 36 to 39. It says, "Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" A number of years ago, I had the great honor to be there in Gethsemane and to be in the place where they felt that Jesus spoke these words. And so this scripture has always really meant something significant to me. And so being in that place was incredible. Now, often the focus of this teaching, understandably, is prayer. And the disciples kind of get a hard knock here, the lame, sleepy disciples, right? Jesus saying, "Come on, boys, like this is the biggest moment of my life. Can you guys just pray with me for a little while?" And they're over there catching Z's while He's facing the biggest thing of His life. The Bible says He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. How many can identify with those emotions? We live in a world where we've all been faced with trouble and touched by sorrow, so we can identify with what Jesus was facing. Maybe not to the extent of what He had ahead of Him, but we understand being touched by those emotions. Then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed." I know midway through the week, often we can feel overwhelmed with some of the things that we were dealing with. Now, considering this is Christ, it's certainly saying something about the weight of what He was facing. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. It doesn't get any more serious than that. The next verse says, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, the Bible says, which I think all of us need to be willing sometimes to go a little bit farther. We need to push past some of the obstacles in our lives to be alone with him. So it says, going a little farther, he fell to the ground on his face. Now, this is how Jesus Christ positioned himself in the hour of his greatest challenge. This is how he positioned himself. And then he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, meaning there must be other possibilities, other options. If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, or spare me from what I know I have to do. Yet not as I will, but as you will. You ever prayed a prayer where you didn't hear anything? Sometimes that's the answer. And in Jesus' case, he was praying a prayer that he knew the answer to, but he asked the Father if it's possible. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm here to do your will, and I will see it through. If it is possible. Today, I'd like to talk to you about what I've called positioned for possibility. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your spirit at work in our lives. We thank you for the word that is true in every moment of our lives, and that any time we spend with you is life-changing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last month, Susan and I had the opportunity to travel to Bulgaria, to Varna, Bulgaria. Never even heard of it before until I was invited to go there. I got to be honest with you, I wasn't terribly excited when I first was invited. Wasn't necessarily on my to-do list, because I also knew that it wasn't an easy place to get to. There was a lot of connections. It was going to be a long trip. Planes, trains, and automobiles. It was going to be kind of a brutal travel schedule. But I knew deep inside that God was calling us to go. It was an opportunity where our missionaries within our denomination from all over the world come off the field for this week to receive ministry. You know, when you're ministering to others, it's important that you too receive ministry. God fills us up and then he pours us out, just like he did with Jesus. But it's important that you fill yourself up again, right? And when you try to give out on an empty tank, it's very difficult, and it leads to disaster. And so this is an opportunity for our missionaries with their families to come and rest, to receive ministry. They bring in pastors like Susan and I to come in and spend the week with these incredible people that have said yes to the Lord. And so we had this great time to be with them. Now, again, I knew that God had called us to be there, so we kind of persevered. We kind of moved. We positioned ourselves beyond what was comfortable to experience God's possibilities in this moment. And so the last leg of this trip was particularly difficult. I don't know what it was. I've been on many planes, but this thing was just, was like a blender. Like it was up and down, up and down. And you could see the ground, and you'd just get close to it, and then the wind would hit, you'd go up again. I mean, it was not good. I'm not prone to motion sickness, but I was messed up after that. And so Susan and I both kind of got off the plane ready to lay down somewhere. We had missed a whole night's sleep. We just went through the washing machine, landing the plane. And so they said, well, there'll be a guy there with a card with your name on it. So I saw the McDonald's. So I went over and introduced myself. The guy, his name is George. George spoke a little bit of English, and he was very happy to pick us up. And so he led us out to his car. So I said to George, with great hope that it would be over soon, so are we close to where we're going? Maybe 30, 40 minutes? And he goes, ha, 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 no, maximum 2 hours. And I'm like, ha, 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 brutal. I just had envisioned laying down as soon as possible. Susan was prone to motion sickness. She said, I'm going to have to go in the front seat because if I sit in the back, I think it won't be good. I said, okay, go ahead. So we got in this car, and George, he told us to buckle up, and I'm glad he did, because the journey that followed could best be described as a high-speed cross-country race that broke every traffic law in existence. And he talked all the way. And he could hardly speak English, so he was determined. I got to give him big props for trying, but it was hard. We were still half asleep, and I'm trying to understand, George, what are you talking about, you know? And he's driving like a madman. Now, I love speed. I really do. But speed under control. This was speed out of control. He was all over the map. He would go from the highway to the side streets and not throttle down. It'd be like 140 plus the whole way. And he didn't like to be behind anything. So when he got behind a bus, a car, a horse and buggy, and there was a lot of horse and buggies, he'd be back and forth passing them all. And it was those kind of moments where you pull out in that passing lane and you see a large tour bus coming towards you. And he's just zooming in just in time. And Susan and I are both going, ooh. So I was praying nonstop in the back seat, praying for survival, to be honest with you. And I knew the Lord had called us to be there, so I figured he needed to get us there in one piece. But there was times when he dove in and out of corners so fast that I thought the car literally was going to flip into the ditch. This little Ford Escort, just the tires were just like burning off of it as we went into the corners. And I'm like, I don't know if we're going to make it there. And I'm looking up at Susan thinking, I don't even know how she's surviving in the front seat. She keeps saying, turn up the air conditioning, more air conditioning, right? And he'd be saying, just a little farther, madam, just a little farther. And so then he asks through the conversation, why are you here? And so I told him I was a pastor and we were here to speak to and talk to our missionaries. And oh, he lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, pastor. So he starts telling me his story. And he tells me how much he loves Jesus Christian. That's how he was saying Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christian this, Jesus Christian that. My life, big change in 10 years. Big change. Jesus Christian. I love Jesus Christian. I said, yes, bro. Awesome. Just slow down or we're going to meet him right now in person. And so he's Jesus Christian. He's got his hand in the air. Oh, and now he wants to turn around and talk to me. While he's going flat out, he's talking. I'm like, no, just turn around. Just turn around. Look at the road. He tells us that he lived a life of crime before he came to Christ. He was in the Finnish Mafia. And he was a prize fighter. And so his right ear was 60% hearing loss. He was in and out of hospitals. He'd been shot many times. He shot many people himself. And so as he's driving the car, he's telling us, trying to explain that he was being shot and he was shooting people. So he'd be going, pew, 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 like as he drove the car. And I'm like, man, put down that gun, even if it's a finger, right? Put it down. And he's telling us this story. And then he says, John 3:16. I said, yes. Great scripture. I quoted it to him. And he goes, yes, John 3:16. But he wanted to show me on the app on his phone. And so he's got the phone and he scrolls. I said, no, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Listen, I'll quote it to you as many times as you want. Just put that phone down, right? He's scrolling, and he finds it and he's showing us. And it's not even in English, right? He's showing it to us. But he's so excited. He's so excited about what God has done in his life. And he keeps saying, God not finished yet. God not finished yet. 60% hearing. God not finished yet. A little farther, madam. I think he was concerned for Susan that she wanted to get out as quickly as possible, and he was trying to make it happen, but the wrong way, right? And so we finally arrived, and I said, George, could I pray for you? And so tears coming down his eyes. He said, oh, yes. So I prayed for his hearing, that God would restore it. I prayed for his marriage, for his children, prayed for his life, and he's just crying. And so we got out of the car, and he just embraces us. He can hardly put words to what he's feeling. And I got to tell you, I have never been so glad to get out of a vehicle in all my life, right? And so say goodbye to George. Pew, pew. See you later to George. But in this moment, I realized that sometimes you have to position yourself a little farther beyond what is comfortable in order to reach the possibilities that God has for your life. And this was certainly past my comfort zone, well past. Matthew tells us in chapter 26, verse 39, that Jesus went a little farther to position himself to connect with his Father. He went beyond his disciples, past their questions and their doubts of that particular moment that he was in. He pressed past his friends that were having a hard time staying awake to be alone with his Father. And it was in this private space that the scripture tells us he falls down with his face to the ground, head down to the ground, in complete silence. And when he does, he moves into the position of the greatest possibility. Jesus is face down on the ground. You see, during the most difficult and critical decision-making moment of his life, of our lives, really, this is the position he chooses to be in. Not figuring things out, not talking to more people, down on his face before God. You know, sometimes there's nothing that takes you higher than getting as low before God as humanly possible. You see, when I position my face on the ground before God, I can't see all of the things that are overwhelming me. When I position my face on the ground, I can set my focus purely on him. You know, growing up, I was always a bit of a Trekkie. I'm still a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. My dad, his brothers, used to go over to their home when I was a kid, and I used to see them watching this show all the time. I think what I love the most about this show is that in 30 minutes to an hour, the captain of the ship is faced with a dilemma. Right? Every week, there's a new problem. There's either a warp core breach and the ship is going to explode. The Klingons are ready to go to war. The Borg is ready to come aboard and assimilate everybody. But somehow, in 30 minutes, in an hour even, if it's a long episode, the captain was always able to sew things up neatly, solve the problem, and lead the crew to victory. Every week, he would have the solution somehow. In our families, our careers, our health, even in our churches, it seems that our days have become increasingly filled with solving problems, with leading in some capacity. There's a dilemma here. I need a breakthrough over here. I need a possibility. I need an answer. I need a solution. I need a genius Captain Kirk moment to save the day for the people that I love. So I'm very focused on these problems. I'm looking all around me. I'm meeting with pastors. I'm meeting with leaders in the nation, here locally, with our staff, our board. I'm weighing options and budgets and schedules and pros and cons. I'm desperately trying to figure out things. And just when I'm about to feel overwhelmed by it all, I fall on my face. I fall on my face before God so that my focus is only on one thing. You see, it's in that place that you can't see your problems. You can't see the phone. You can't see your computer. You can't read your emails. You can't see the text messages that people are sending to you. You can't see the flat tire. You don't see the unhappy relative that doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Or the people who are unhappy with your decisions or always seem offended. You can't see anything except God. You can see him better in that position than in any other place you're overwhelmed by. And while I'm there in that place, bowed down before the creator of everything, I rediscover the position where everything becomes a possibility again. What did Jesus say in Matthew 19, verse 26? He says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So the God side of this positioned for possibility equation is the possibilities. You with me? The God side of the equation, that's the God zone. That's his territory, all of the possibilities. But our involvement is absolutely essential as well. You see, God designed it that way. Our side of the equation involves how we position ourselves in this lifetime. Throughout Scripture, we get a glimpse of the significance of the limitless possibilities of heaven when a man or a woman positions themselves properly. You see, before the Lord responded to Habakkuk with the powerful words that we read and have heard, write down the vision and make it plain in Habakkuk 2:2. The Bible says that Habakkuk first positioned himself on the fortress to keep watch to see what the Lord would say. So you understand there's two things happening. There's the possibilities, there's what God is going to do, and then there's our side of the equation with how we position ourselves. And see, in this case, Habakkuk positioned himself for possibility. Before the Lord saved the Jews from the order for their annihilation, Esther, the beautiful Jewish wife of a Persian king, positioned herself unannounced before the king, risking her life. You don't go before the king without an invitation. Risking her life for the sake of her people for such a time as this. Esther positioned herself for possibility. Before the Lord brought about the good work in Nehemiah's life, he positioned himself on the wall to begin the rebuilding process. He put out the voices that were at the bottom of the ladder that were saying, who do you think you are? You can't do this. Get down. He had to push past the opposition. Nehemiah positioned himself for possibility. Before the Lord gave Peter the strength to walk on the water in the midst of the storm, even if it was for a little while. People get on Peter because he didn't stay up. He didn't walk all the way. He started to sink. Listen, he was walking. When was the last time you walked across your pool in the backyard? Right? Even if for a minute. Have you ever stood on a lake for a couple minutes? It hasn't happened to me yet. So for me, I look at Peter and I say, good on you, man. Because Peter positioned himself beyond the comfort of the boat to experience the possibilities of God. Nehemiah positioned himself for possibility. Peter positioned himself for possibility because he pushed past that comfort. You see, when we are positioned properly on earth, we experience heaven's greatest possibilities. So how can we position ourselves properly? Position to do what exactly? The first thing I believe we need to do is we need to be positioned to lead. To lead. Now, I'm not just talking about leading a bunch of people. I'm talking about the first and foremost leadership challenge that you have is you. The greatest challenge we have in leadership is leading ourselves. That's not an easy thing to do. Leading yourself well means you hold yourself to a higher standard of accountability than other people do. John 3:30 says, he must become greater, I must become less. When the greater one leads through us, we become this conduit of life, not the source, right? We're not where it all comes from. In our efforts to lead others to become fully devoted followers of Christ, we need to sometimes get out of the way. Get out of the way to lift him up and not elevate ourselves. The true test of your character is how you lead when you're all by yourself. You say, Pastor Steve, that doesn't make sense. Should nobody lead when I'm all by myself? Yes, there is. You. You have to lead yourself in the quietness of your life. What do you do? What do you watch? What do you listen to? What do you expose yourself to when you need relief? Where do you turn? My prayer is that you will begin to learn that the only place to find relief and peace is in the one who can grant it to you. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is riddled with guilt and frustration, and we can't seem to find the answer. It's elusive to us. It's like a mirage in the desert. It shows great promise, and then whoo, it evaporates and disappears. Lead yourself first. And believe me, I know that is easier said than done. You cannot lead other people to a place you haven't been yourself. So if you're trying to say to somebody, you need to read the Bible. It's got the answers. Well, if you're going to say that with confidence, you should be reading the Bible yourself. If you're going to say, oh, if you're in a dilemma, you should really pray. But are you praying yourself? You can't lead someone to a place you've never been yourself. You know, you should really invite someone to church, bring them with you, go pick them up. But are you inviting someone to church? Because I would encourage you to do that, to lead by example, to lead yourself first. Second thing we need to do is we need to be positioned to follow. You know, in my lifetime, the people that I hold the greatest degree of respect for in leadership are not only the best leaders, they're the best followers. They follow Christ closely. And they follow people that God has placed in their lives. You and I were never called to do life alone. We're not good by ourselves. Human beings, when the sheep is pulled away from the flock, that's when the enemy can beat you around and make you feel that sense of isolation. Genesis 2:18 says, it's not good. It's not good. Not good. It's not good to be alone. It's not. So don't try to do it all by yourself. Last month was our annual team night. And so we gathered everyone who so faithfully serves on Team Calvary each and every week. You are my heroes. I love spending time with other people that are committed with their lives to help move the church forward. And so positioning leaders for the possibilities in God is one of my greatest honors in this lifetime. And so when we position ourselves to follow Christ, we're also positioning ourselves to follow his call, to say yes to what he's called us to do. And one of the scriptures I used on that team night to pray for everyone It's a scripture that I would typically use if I was ordaining a pastor. It's a scripture that when I read it, it challenges me just as much as it challenges the audience that I'm speaking it to. And so today I want to challenge you. Colossians 4, 17 and 18 says, "Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Grace be with you. Amen." Take heed to what God has called you to do. It's not how you start the race that really counts. It's how you finish it. Stay with it. Fulfill what God has called you to do. The third thing, and I want you to hear this because I really believe this area is really speaking to some of you this morning, both online and here in the house. God wants you to hear this word today. We need to be positioned to heal. And by positioned, I mean having an unashamed willingness to seek out help and to get it if you need it. He is willing and able to heal you, but are you willing to acknowledge your need for it? Sometimes our pride won't allow us to go to people for help. But I'm telling you right now, there are far too many people, young and old, who are deeply, deeply struggling with isolation. Some are surrounded by people every day and yet still feel as if they are walking out the call of God in their lives all by themselves. They say that we've never lived in a generation that is so connected yet so isolated. You can have 10 million followers on Instagram and it doesn't make you any more connected to somebody. We were called to do life with other people. That's why small groups here at Calvary are so key and so important. And I would encourage you that if you're not a part of one, to become a part of a community that is looking out for you, that you can pray with, that can encourage you. Some of you need to even consider leading a small group to help create opportunities for other people. Matthew 28, 20 says, "And be sure of this." You know, there are a great many things that we can't be sure of, but this promise from Jesus himself is not one of them. He says, "Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is with you. Please, listen. Please know with certainty there are amazing people in your life who love you, who God has placed in your life with reason. Some of those people are even in this room this morning. These are people that are in your corner, that are cheering you on, that believe in you, that are available to you. So listen, talk to somebody. Ask for help. Don't wait. Do it today. We need you, and so does the Father. Your life matters. Did you hear me? Your life matters. Someone needed to hear that. Your value doesn't depend on what you produce or how you perform. You are valuable to God, period. You are valuable to him. Number four, the last one, position to abide. You see, you will only remain alive, I believe, to the extent that you are connected to the Good Shepherd himself. You need to be connected. Andrew Murray, great author, once said, "You did well to come. You do better to abide." Meaning when it comes to the presence of God, you don't have to come and go all the time. You can stay there. You can live your life there. Jesus pushed past the noise. He was willing to go a little further than other people to be alone with the Father. You see, getting on your face before God opens up a world of possibility before us. Critical decisions require getting alone with the Master. And if some of you are making one, if some of you are praying about one, listen to God's voice. Don't step out to do something that you're going to force to make it happen. I'm going to take this round piece and jam it into this square hole and say, "God told me to do it." And it never fit, and it never will. You need to hear his voice. Just prior to the most pivotal moments in my life and in the life of our family was a season of prayer and fasting, getting alone with God, going a little farther to be with him, seeking God for his guidance, for his direction, and his safety every single step of the way. Listen, we need his peace. More than anything, we need to know that we are walking in those ordered steps. And at the end of the day, it must be about his spirit and his power, not our own human efforts. We're not the source. Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We are all a part of something that God did and is continuing to do. Something only he can do. So prayer needs to be our first response, not our last resort. How many times have I said this before, but people come to me and say, we tried this, we've tried that, tried this medication, talked to this doctor, flew to this place, did this, did that, moved to this place, got this job, got that job, got out of this relationship, got into this relationship. How many times have people said that I tried to do all of these things? And then they go, none of it seems to be working. Pastor Steve, I guess the only thing I can do is pray. Like it's some weak, pathetic, bottom of the list option, right? I guess we might as well pray. Tried everything else in the medicine cabinet, right? Might as well just pray. When in fact God's saying, make it your first response to whatever it is you're facing. Fall to your knees, get on your face before God and ask him what needs to be done. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, always be joyful. There's a challenge, right? We have joyful moments, but always? That's a tall order. And then the Bible says in the next verse, this is a verse you need to memorize. One that's quite manageable to memorize. It's a short one. Never stop praying. That's it. That's what that verse is. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. How is that possible? How do I do what I do in my life and never stop praying? Listen, it is possible. I'm not saying you got to stop everything you do and pray. Just have a conversation with God. Be talking to him in traffic. Talking to him in your most stressful moments, in your greatest moments, in your times of celebration. Pray. There was times when my boys were small and I remember walking into the room while they were sleeping and just praying in the spirit, praying the perfect will of God over their lives. Even when I didn't know how to pray the perfect words, believing God. I still do that. For my boys, now that they're grown men. I lay in bed at night next to my wife, and sometimes I will just put my hand over in the night and put my hand on her shoulder. She doesn't even know, and I just pray for her. I pray for God's will to be done. I pray for health. I pray for wisdom. I pray for God to walk out his purpose in her life. Pray without ceasing. The Bible says never stop. Be thankful in all circumstances. In this month of Thanksgiving, let's carry, not just on one day of the year, but in our lives, a thankful heart. The Bible says, for this is the will of God for you. What's the will of God for your life? Praying always with a thankful heart. Because if you belong to Christ Jesus, then that is the call that's upon you. When we are positioned properly on earth, we will experience heaven's greatest possibilities. Possibilities are the God side of the equation. How you position yourself is your side of the equation. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you today for your word, that it is true. I pray, Lord, today that each one of us would recognize the position we are in. And Lord, we would, in our lives, walk out what you've called us to do. I thank you for the possibilities that are limitless, that you make the impossible possible. And so I position myself to hear your words, to walk in your ordered steps in everything that we do. I pray for those today that are searching, that need to know you as their Lord and Savior, that need to first position themselves in a place of surrender, to know that their sins are forgiven, to know that there is a fresh new start available if they just say yes to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.